Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbarrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. Have you say, Yarnum Strong, 1-800-422-416. All right, today we're going to catch up with Australian Indigenous singer Jessie Lloyd and talk about releasing her new album, Island Songs Project, Four Winds album, historical songs from the Torres Straits. On the line, Jessie, good morning, sis. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very good, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
My family are the Gaia family. Gaia's from Palm Island and originally come from Moa, there up in the Torres Straits, and we've got Aboriginal connections to Gugimajir up there and also down Birrigubba, down near Bowen and Mackay.
Yeah, two dead brother, Tilly and my sister. I'm thinking, brother Joe Gaia, your father. You come from very strong blood there, my sister. And look, represent, fantastic. Let's talk about Island Songs Project, Four Winds album, historical songs from the Torres Straits, my sister.
Yeah, got a new album. This is a follow up from my first album called Mission Songs Project.
Yes,
so I thought I'd do an album based around the songs that come through the Torres Strait or come from the Torres Strait, and there's a lot of really interesting stories and history behind these old little tunes that have really gone on to influence in, Australian music and Australian music history.
Yes.
So there's some pretty big reveals in this album that I think is going to create a bit of a change in Australian music history as we know it.
Yeah, now, too dead. Look, it's a platform using music as the vehicle to tell the stories of our mob, and it's strong in a sense, and it tells history of this country, you know, black and white, good or bad, who it is, and using song music to do so, sister.
Yeah, that's right.
So, how many when going into something like this, you have yarns with mob and with family regarding adding to the wordings and the story as such, yes?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been a long process. I've been working on these old songs for a long time,
yes.
A few years now, starting with Mission Songs Project, now to this one. And it's really, a lot of it is based around my own family music, Gaia family, so just talking with elders about the songs that we got taught and where they come from. And, of course, there's that Aboriginal and Torres Strait mixes there.
It could be saying folk songs, but black version by families and communities.
Well, they are, yeah. Yeah. They are folk. It's just, you know, you'd categorise it as folk, but it's very unique to North Queensland.
Yeah.
There's a big influence that North Queenslanders have had, you know, Murrays and that, over the last 100 years all over Australia that Australians don't even realise. All the clues are in these songs. So just talking with my family and then them saying, you know, referring me on further. So I spent a lot of time up on the Torres Strait, over on Palm Island as well.
Yes.
Talking with elders up there and singing with them and hearing their versions and finding out which families these songs come from or making sure which dialect. I even did language lessons to make sure I had the right pronunciation.
True.
And translation and to acknowledge the families and the dialects from which
one boy get in trouble there by the elders, you're going to make a wrong yarn.
That's right. And, you know, that's the problem with a lot of us who live on the mainland is sometimes when we sing these old language songs, we don't know, we just, you know, la,
yes,
la, you know, just gam and skip over that language word.
That's
but
right.
We're
going to get growling when you come off stage.
No, yeah, I think it's,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so trying to be as thorough as possible, and
yeah.
I've been working with a lot of elders around the place, just making sure that and the stories behind these old songs are amazing, and that's good. What I'm passionate about.
The Island Project, yeah, Too Deadly, my sister. How long have you been singing, sis?
Oof. I don't know. Well,
come out of the womb, grab the microphone. Shut up.
No. I was never a singer. I was just play guitar. But
okay.
When I studied music after high school, and I went to Ab Music in Perth, and because I was the only girl in my class, they decided that I had to be the singer.
Oh, there you go. And
I started singing when I was about 20. So not
accidentally stepped into it. I thrown into it.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, beautiful, sis. And what about siblings now, brothers and sisters? How many you got there, Jesse?
I've got one brother and sister there on the Gaia side and another brother on my Lloyd's side. So
yeah.
It's a small little family. We keep everybody together.
Good. Fantastic. Well, you, like I said, carrying good blood there, my sister. And look, thank you so very much. We're going to play Island Songs Project and for the mob to have a listen to. But look, keep doing what you're doing and stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, Jesse.
Too deadly, all right.
Take care, sis. Or too beautiful. That's Jesse Lloyd. And have a listen to her deadly track here, Island Songs Project, Four Winds album, historical songs from the Torres Straits. And this is coming from also next album from her Mission Songs Project. So Island Songs Project. Too deadly, mob. Stay tuned. BBM 98.7 FM for National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Thank you. go bangle Jemiah Mustaki. Penny go up and money go down, doonum bucks and go. Two up and a jolly bill a liar. You gonna yon nigga on a liar. You gonna yon nigga on a liar. Billy go bangle Jemiah Mustaki. Penny go up and money go down, doonum bucks and go. Two up and a jolly bill a liar. You go near yon nigga on a liar. Queensland, America. Wah, 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 wah.
Well, what that old woman got a come out got a next? The old Mary Gradio. What are you?
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Have you ever loved somebody so much it makes you cry? Have you ever? Have you ever? Have you ever been in love? Been in love so bad you would do anything to make them understand.
Ooh. Folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Spend a night at Fitzroy Crossing. At Derby I'll be resting. Come morning I'll be on the road again. Traveling down to Broome tomorrow. It's years since I've been there. I remember all the time that we shared. I remember I've seen the places that I've been, but there's someone I know I can't forget.
Kimberly Green,
stole my heart from me.
Kimberly Green,
can't stop thinking of you. Can't you see that our love is really true? The way I want it to be.
Thank you. try to keep an open mind, but it's floating in between the city lights. How can that be? Living on a rock my whole life, I can't stand dwelling on a thought like this. I need to show what I got to be better. Time will last forever. Well, I got something new.
I got something new.
You gotta keep pushing,
gotta keep
to get
pushing
where you wanna be. Do what you gotta do. Be who you wanna be.
Show
what I got to be better.
Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
Yes, a very good morning, your Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim Trendy, Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to the National News Radio Service. You can have your saver calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, new Exmouth Gulf Task Force confirms urgent need for environmental protection. The WA Minister for Environment, Rhys Whitby, today announced an Exmouth Gulf Task Force would be established and funded as one of the McGowan government's responses to the Environmental Protection Authority, EPA. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Daily Brother Paul Gamblin, Director of Protect Ningaloo, on the line. Paul, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Well, thanks. Thanks for having me on again.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you for coming back to the program. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
So we're based up in Exmouth and also in Perth. And our campaign is to protect the beautiful Ningaloo Reef and particularly Exmouth Gulf, which is under a bit of pressure, and that incredible ecosystem which has amazing natural and cultural values.
So you've welcomed support here by WA Minister for Environment, Rhys Whitby. It's like I said, using the funding that's available to do the research, do what we need to do to protect the area, but also having First Nation people at the table in regard to this protection.
That's right. Now, we've applauded the increase in funding, which is a recognition that the area is under a lot of pressure. Exmouth Gulf has been facing a number of threats over the last few years from industrial development, a major port, a salt production facility, a big oil and gas pipeline fabrication facility. Fortunately, we campaigned against that and they left, but there's still a number of pressures. And also climate change as well. So the government is recognising that and has created this task force to really provide some direction, which we think is a good thing. And as you say, they've also allocated funding for First Nations people to be involved in the process, and actually really importantly to be involved in the co-design and the co-management of a marine park, which is going to be in part of Exmouth Gulf. So yeah, these are important steps forward, but a lot of work to go.
And with the traditional owners being at the table, like fully engaged, joint planning and management of the new marine park, look, it's a great opportunity for black and white to work together, but protecting the land for the traditional owners.
That's right, and First Nations people, of course, go back up to 60,000 years in this part of the world, so it's a crucial part of the story. And to be honest, we think there are a lot of opportunities for the cultural, deep cultural heritage to become part of what's known about the area, and also for the experience for people who visit, because at the moment it's not quite so easy for people to have a good understanding of that deep human history and current involvement. So we think there's actually a lot of opportunity there from an economic point of view for businesses to build around creating those cultural tourism experiences and education and science as well.
Sure.
And just if we see that as a legacy from this phase of their focus on this area, that would be a fantastic thing.
Is there any tourism operators operating in that space at the moment?
Not a lot. There are just a few just beginning to get going, which is really good, really promising. But it feels like it's really early days, and there's just a huge amount of interest and a lot of potential. And we're hoping that this focus that we're trying to bring to the area will actually see a lot more of that happening, because we know people want to do that, they're willing to pay for that, but there just hasn't been enough focus, and government really needs to provide a lot more support. We're doing what we can, but government really needs to step up, and we're beginning to see more of that happen. So it'll happen, but it needs to happen a lot more.
Well, when we're talking about the industry, like the tourist industry, look, when we're talking about Indigenous tourism, that is a big market. And look, I speak from firsthand operating here in Cairns and far north Queensland with the Great Barrier Reef and the rainforest and the tablelands. Indigenous tourism is a strong industry, and it also works in protecting the sea land, sea country and the land country with First Nation people working there, but also in business opportunities as well. So it's a great step forward into what's happening there at the Exmouth Gulf Task Force.
That's right, and I think the task force, that's one of the things that we'd really like to see the task force focus on, to look at those economic opportunities that actually look after the environment, you know, help build understanding and don't threaten the environment. I think we need to move past globally, but also in places like Exmouth Gulf at activities that damage the environment. We know places like Exmouth Gulf, the reefs, the mangroves, the seagrasses, the fish, the threatened species, they are coming under increasing pressure.
Yes.
There was just some of the corals were bleaching a couple of months ago. So we know the pressure is on. We need to be looking at economic activity that actually celebrates those environments, don't we, and really brings people's attention to them, to enjoy them, and to restore them, you know, where they've been damaged.
Exactly.
There's lots of opportunity there. We hope this task force will really begin to kick that along.
Fantastic. Now, you've been a director of to protect Ningaloo. How long have you been the director there?
The last 3 years, but I've been involved in conserving Ningaloo. It goes back over 20 years now, on and off.
Yes.
These things can take a bit of a while to work out. But we're really, I have to say, we're really pleased with the broad community support from actually around Australia, not just in Western Australia, not just in Exmouth, but around Australia. There's a lot of people who increasingly appreciate how special our marine environment is, and are learning more about Ningaloo and Exmouth Gulf. So actually, we get support, a lot of support from the eastern states as well, which is brilliant.
Build it and they will come. That's what it's all about. My brother, thank you for the yarn. All the best, Paul. You take care, and we'll yarn soon, brother.
Thanks a lot, Trevor. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A deadly yarn there. That's Paul Gamblin, director of Protect Ningaloo, and talking about the new Exmouth Gulf Task Force, which confirms urgent need for environment protection. And the WA Minister for Environment, Rhys Whitby, has come to the table in regard to supporting this, and Environmental Protection Authority, EPA, and that's the McGowan government's response to the request. So there it is. Have you saying yarn up strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Sitting here in my stepping home, electricity on, and I'm on the phone.
And all that.
Ain't no time for me to ever complain. I rent all day. By the end of the week, I got no pay.
And all day.
Ain't no time for me to ever complain. Keep it in, don't make a sound. Say.
are in on the springtide, and the gambling house is packed. The baker, he muck on with sit on. Well, laddie, we got more time. Tonight, make a ray and sing with the moon. Collect the pace of the city life. Soon I'll be dreaming in blue. So I feel like going back home. Right now, while the garbage is right, the yield tree's starting to bloom. Coming back home to you. Collect the pace of the city life. Soon I'll be dreaming in blue. Soon I'll be dreaming in blue. Soon I'll be dreaming in blue.
On your mob, it's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Mark Aran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy, Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that, daily number 1-800-422-416. All right, look, don't put your health on hold. Whether you're flooded or stranded or too sick to travel, to your GP, then look, get online or talk to somebody, but stay focused in regard to your health. We're going to talk to Deadly Brother now, Michael Brown, Indigenous Health Spokesperson, just talk about his journey regarding his health and how very important it is to look after ourselves. On the line, Michael, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, thank you.
Good, my brother. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, Michael.
I was born in Townsville. Mm-hmm. I'm of the Kalkadoon, Bardabarana and Wanji.
Yes, okay.
But, you know, I'm related to the Wakarukawa mob up in Townsville area.
All right, beautiful. So being an Indigenous Health Spokesperson, just tell us your journey in regarding our mob, or regarding yourself, but our mob in regards to, you know, health and COVID-19 and visiting your GP and don't put it on hold. I mean, we do a lot to service our cars, but we're very laxy-daisy with looking after our body, brother.
Yeah, well, back in the day, I didn't think I was at risk of certain things, and then I went out and got a test, and it actually came back positive for HIV.
Okay.
So then I got very interested in my health and what this meant.
Mm.
And you got to juggle, you know. You've
exactly.
Got scripts, you got appointments, you got to see this one and that one, and look after your social and emotional well-being. So,
but it's about making them a priority, isn't it, Michael?
Well, yeah. First, I need to know what I'm dealing with, who's going to give me the right information.
Sure.
And as far as I knew, I thought it was a death sentence.
Yeah.
So,
when were you diagnosed, Michael? Sorry?
November 2016.
2016. And how are you travelling? What were we talking about, 4-6 years now? How are you travelling 6 years down the track?
I'm great. It's good. It's not an issue today. The first year was the hardest, getting my head around it.
Yes.
Who do I tell? What are people going to do with that information? And, just that, what support's available.
Sure, but you got, like you said, got focus when you diagnose HIV. Then you got focus in regard to your health. Search for the information, talk to the right people and what have you. But you got busy focusing in on that. And probably that's the message we're delivering our mob out there. Look after yourself, keep checking up on doctors, and look after yourself in regarding intake of, you know, smoking, drinking, all the above, whatever, your health, what you're eating, exercise, you know, so you don't have to make it a priority as such.
Exactly. Well, the good thing is I dealt with my drinking and drugging life. I'm coming up 10 years alcohol and drug free.
Good on you, brother.
And if I would have had a diagnosis when I was still drinking, I was drinking 5 litres of wine a day, things would probably be a lot different than what they are now.
Yeah. So, with respect to HIV, the disease itself, and to people who've lost their lives from it, it was an angel in disguise, you could say, for yourself in regard to getting yourself better.
Exactly. And now I get to talk to people about it to let them know that you may be at risk. Our mob are getting higher diagnosis of any other people in Australia. But there are preventions available. There's PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis, and you can go to your sexual health service or to your AMS or to any other doctor and talk to them about these preventions to stop us from getting these things.
Exactly. So you've, put your hand up to become the advocate and to promote take care and health decisions to our mob, brother.
Yeah, it's nice, because I didn't know about these preventatives back in the day.
Yeah.
And so the more people that know about it, they don't have to go down and have the experience that I had, because it's not a nice experience, and finding the right supports. That are there, and it's still a work in process, but it's getting better every day. The health professionals are being more understanding with our mob, and they want us to get on treatment and to have full happy lives.
So tell us your journey in regard to being diagnosed with HIV back in 2016, then the focus for information going to your doctors, how'd you handle it in regard to the job situation, the money situation, family, in regard to, like you said, who do you tell, how do you operate? Tell us your journey there, please, Michael.
Well, I was asked to go on television, so I went on SBS on the Insight panel with Jenny Brockie. I was asked to start going and talking at conferences, the Australasian HIV Viral Hepatitis Sexual Health Medicine Institute. I lobbied with our TAFE system to get sexual health in our study so all Indigenous health workers know the basics of sexual health and what support after a diagnosis.
Because back in 2016, there wouldn't have been a lot of education, so to speak, in regard to sexual diseases or situations like that in the so-called studies or the work environment for people working in health, yes?
No, I don't think there was many studies at all. And unless you work and you pick a special course or you are working in a certain field. But this just makes it broader. We need to know about diabetes and chronic conditions. This is another thing that's happening. So we need to know about sexual health and STIs.
And did you still continue with your job? Were you working at the time? And what work were you into?
Well, at the time, I was working in homeless services, and there a job vacancy came up for a peer support person through Queensland Positive People. So I put my hand up for that to be an Indigenous peer worker, working with our mob, taking them through their journey.
Yeah, fantastic, brother. And you're still in that field, or what are you doing now, bro?
At the moment, I'm doing some studies. So I'm doing a graduate diploma in Indigenous health promotion, social and emotional wellbeing.
Good on you.
I've stepped away from the medical services at the moment, and I'm living on 40 acres out in the bush, so I'm learning a little bit of sustainability and permaculture.
Well, living on country, Mother Nature out there in the wilderness, I mean, that's got to be good for your health, I would think.
Wonderful. It's nice to have a step back and have a break and see what's happening next in my life.
Yeah, beautiful. So looking for the new chapter, and that's what it's all about, but we need to all take care of ourselves. Thank you for your daily message there, Michael Brown, and more power to you, my brother. Keep doing what you're doing. Live life to the fullest and be an advocate for our mob, my brother.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for the yarn. You take care, Michael. All the best.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Adelie Young there, Michael Brown, Digital Health spokesperson, just talking about his journey and uses his journey as a story to help and inspire our mob prevention, but also just acting on looking after your health. And it's so very important. Like I said, we do a lot for our vehicles as such, our cars, and do tire changes and check oil, check water and get the services done. But we get lackadaisy when we're looking about the vehicle that carries us, and that's our body. So do your bit, your mob, look after yourself. Too Deadly, have you seen Yarn Up Strong? 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, here on your Dindy Country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM in Far North Queensland, Cairns. Too Deadly.